Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on campusinsightradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, May the 10th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Jane Connolly. We heard in the first part of the show from the lovely Catherine Spencer of Inspiring Women. We've got another great guest lined up for you later in the second part of the show. We have got some more emails and tweets and stuff that we're going to read, and I think I'm going to impose on Jane to do another quick email for us.
Okay, this is news from Tunbridge Wells-based estate agent Madison's Residential. Deborah Richards has been appointed as an ambassador for Eleanor, the charity that provides hospice care for children in their own homes in Southwest Kent.
Right.
Deborah joins a very dedicated and supportive group of ambassadors in Southwest Kent, which includes Victoria Sampson, president of West Kent Chamber of Commerce, and a corporate lawyer at Cooper Burnett, who introduced Deborah to the work which Eleanor does for families facing terminal illness. Ambassadors fulfil a vital role, raising the profile of Eleanor and representing the charity at a variety of events. And Deborah was previously involved with the Parents Association at her children's school, serving as chair for a number of years. And she says that she wanted to work with this charity. I felt very passionate about it because, as a mother of two very healthy children, a third on the way, this is something that I never take for granted, she says. Eleanor was a clear winner to be my charity of choice for this reason, and the fact that it is such a unique, worthy and inspirational charity. I think it's great to see local business people supporting charities that are evidently so worthwhile and inspirational. So
absolutely.
Good for Deborah.
Yeah, absolutely. Eleanor is a fabulous charity, a fabulous local charity, and they do absolutely brilliant work. End-of-life hospice care for youngsters in their own homes, which is a fabulous, fabulous thing. But, of course, as you can imagine, incredibly expensive to deliver. And therefore, raising funds for them is really, really vital and important. Sure. So thank you for that. Fantastic
Could
stuff.
I just add to that, Paul. Berkeley Homes, Eastern Counties, alongside the Berkeley Foundation, has also recently pledged to continue supporting Eleanor for another 3 years.
Oh, brilliant.
Extending a partnership which began in April 2013. And they're based in Sevenoaks. So that's great to see another local business getting involved.
Brilliant. I used to have a Berkeley Homes house. Not that it's relevant to anything, but I thought I'd tell you that. No, fantastic. Good stuff. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. We've still got loads of emails. We've still got another fabulous guest to talk to. So there's lots happening in the second part of the show. We've had a tweet from the lovely Miriam McGirt, who says she's listening in. And to enjoy the show, do follow Miriam on the Twitter. Miriam is an author, Tales from Turkey sequence of books, and also a prolific blogger with some brilliant blogs, so do check those out. You can follow Miriam on the Twitter at Miriam_McGuirk, McGuirk. Miriam_McGuirk. Do give Miriam a follow. The lovely folks at Telcare Limited. Telcare are a telecommunications provider based on the Medway City Estate at Rochester, and without them, you wouldn't be listening to us, because our lease line is delivered by Telcare and supported by Telcare, and a big thank you to them for the work they do for us in supporting us, but do give them a follow on the Twitter as well. That's Telcare LTD, T-E-L-C-A-R-E LTD on the Twitter. Do give them a follow. There's a construction expo in the southeast, and Jane made reference earlier to a dinner that they're having. I want to tell you about the actual work that's involved, not the eating and gossiping what was the chap who's speaking at it?
Giles Brandreth.
Giles Brandreth, well remembered. This is just, the exhibition during the day. It's the Southeast Construction Opportunity to Attract Global Interest, and Construction Expo is at the heart of the region's industry. Certainly bearing in mind what Jane told us earlier about the construction work that's going to be happening at Ebbsfleet and Paramount over the next 10 years, presumably. Attendances are increasing year on year, and 2015 events saw nearly 3,000 visitors, including those from some of the very largest main contracting and house building firms. The event provides the perfect platform to build lasting relationships, business relationships. The Construction Expo's objective is to provide the construction industry with a highly focused gateway to learn, network and capitalise on the region's major construction opportunities. This year's event is taking place on Thursday the 6th of October. Now, I know that's a long way off, but what they're asking for here is for people that want to have exhibition stands and be at the event. And you need to book these quite quickly, because these kind of things do go very quickly. The event is happening as I said, on Thursday the 6th of October at the Kent Event Centre. That's at the County Showground at the top of Detlin Hill. And it's happening between 8.30 in the morning and 4.30 in the afternoon. And you can book us an exhibition stand by going to kentconstructionexpo.co.uk/exhibitors. Or you can register for your ticket to attend the event by going to kentconstructionexpo.co.uk/delegates. So kentconstructionexpo.co.uk to find out all about it, /exhibitors if you want to be there as an exhibitor, and /delegate if you want a ticket to get there. Can't say further than that. Even I can read that out. Brilliant stuff. I'm going to do one more tweet, and then we're going to come to our next guest. Oh, no, we're not. We've got a telephone. Was that a telephone? Did that just flash?
Don't think so.
Oh, okay. I thought the telephone went off. Sorry. Oh, was it? Okay. All right. So our guest is going to ring in, even though he's in the studio. He's going to do it on the phone. We're going to talk to our next guest in a moment. I've got one more tweet to read, which is from the lovely Amanda. Butterflies and Dreams Events, Butterflies 2019 on the Twitter. She says, I'm not listening in live. I'm going to catch up on the listen again later. But can you give me a shout out anyway? Oh, you little devil. You know, yeah, okay then, Amanda, as it's you, as you stage some of the lovely events that go on around the county. Last week, Amanda staged two events that I spoke at, the Evo Girls event and Amwen Cooper's Get Fruitful Playbook, all in the same week. That's lovely, isn't it? So do follow Amanda Butterflies 2019 on the Twitter. Do you know what? It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome our second guest onto the show. I waited until he took a sip of water before that, just to make him cough. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Tony Smith onto the Business Bunker. Tony's from Right Guard Security and Mission Training. Tony, welcome onto the Business Bunker. Great to hear from you and see you.
Good afternoon. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. I want to start off, you were telling us off air, actually, that you're a local boy originally. Again, a bit like Catherine, originally from round the corner at Hythe.
Yes, exactly. I was born in Hythe, grew up in Hythe, Cheriton, Folkestone, right. And now based near Canterbury.
Oh. Yeah. See, this show isn't just thrown together. We tie all this kind of stuff, something like that. Anyway, look, it's a real pleasure to welcome you on the show. Why don't you start off by telling the listener a little bit about Tony, a bit about your background, and then we're going to start talking about some of your businesses.
Sure. So, Right Guard Security, I'm sure many people around here have seen the brand. I'm sure they've seen our services operating throughout the county. We're based here, obviously, as we said, in Kent. We work nationally for some of the larger outdoor events. Been now trading for 26 years.
Wow.
So, that's why I've got no hair like yourself. That's what happens to you.
You've got a bit more than me, yeah.
Yeah, it's we're very, very busy. Touch wood. I built the business out of nothing, me and a notepad and a telephone.
Right.
And it's grown into quite something I'm quite proud of, actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit more background in terms of the kind of services that you provide through Right Guard.
Well, as I think we're quite well known for our crowd management services, lots of outdoor music events. And
I was going to say, we've got some of your guys here sorting us out in the studio.
That's right, yeah, they're keeping the crowds back out there.
Yeah, holding them back, all those groupies and stuff. Yeah,
indeed. We work at other venues locally, like the Leascliff Hall in Folkestone, the Winter right. Gardens in Margate, or the large standing concerts and so forth. We work nationally with all sorts of other event organisers, so we're well known for those services. We also provide a lot of security officers, and we even provide the services here throughout the hospitals in South East Kent. So
right.
It's a very comprehensive service that we provide.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I want to explore that a little bit.
Yeah,
because it's always worth knowing about this stuff and
yeah, absolutely.
Find out more about it. Because you, as you quite rightly said, you've done a fabulous job over the years in terms of building this business, and you're now doing different things to some extent. I know they're all related, but you've got big event security and management. And you've also got kind of building security, and I just want to explore that side of it, just so that I understand, in case I need you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah. Let's explore the building security side of things. Is that, you know, patrols, or do you permanently man, you know, like nighttime reception desks? How does it work?
It's quite a variety, really. We do provide 24-hour security officers to construction sites and unmanned properties. You know,
right.
So it may be empty properties. It might not necessarily be under construction. They may be of high value.
Yeah,
we also provide dog patrols. We've got trained dogs that will actually, you know, enhance security provisions.
Right.
So that's a big thing. Obviously, CCTV now plays a massive part in the security industry, and it's seen predominantly as the cheaper approach rather than the security officer on site. However, many companies and many approaches now would actually like to go back to having a security officer on site because, obviously, once we're reliant on equipment, IT sometimes can fail, as we all know.
Absolutely.
And of course, inherently, we lose our CCTV. So the security officer will remain out there. He's strong, his profile. And I think it's a reassuring sight for people to know there is an officer on site, yeah.
Absolutely. And as you quite rightly say, CCTV can only go so far. I'll tell you a quick story. I got a phone call very late one night, from the nighttime DJ here. And they went, hello, Paul. It actually wasn't a phone call, it was a text. And they said, hello, Paul, this is da-da-da. There's an awful smell of burning in the studio, so I'm going home. And I went. So I got up, I was in bed, it was like early hours in the morning. I got up, we've got CCTV here, I can access it via my phone. Whoever was here is gone, yeah? I've looked on the CCTV and I can see a wisp of smoke coming up from these screens here.
Right.
Great, what do you do? Yeah, you know, so I had to get up, get dressed, drive all the way, I live 40 minutes away, drive all the way over here to find out what it was. Lucky I did, because the plastics around had got too hot and it had melted and started to drip onto the equipment. So, okay, you can see something on CCTV. It's not much use to you. You know, I can watch my building burn down in full colour.
Yeah, absolutely. We do provide a lot of alarm response and key holding services, so we are reactive and interlinked with CCTV. So just like in the scenario you just mentioned, if CCTV pick up movement on the site, we'll actually then be deployed to investigate that ourselves.
Yeah, okay.
And just last night, actually, we, with Kent Police, caught some thieves in operation, which was a diesel theft, in the early hours of this morning. So, yeah, that was due to our reactive responses, working closely with the police, which is something which is obviously a good, great result for all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And as you say, it's that combination, isn't it, of having technology deployed, but something you can do with it once you've detected something not right is happening. Absolutely.
No, absolutely.
Okay. Just to refresh my memory, I think you did say this, that you cover, through Right Guard Security, you cover the southeast of England, is that right?
Oh, definitely, and somewhat. Basically, we can provide national services for the larger events. Obviously, for one man and his dog, it's not practical to go too far afield, but obviously for the larger events, we work all over the place.
Mm. Yeah. Just give us a feel for the kind of events that you've kind of managed in the past.
Well, things here locally, for instance, such as the Kent County Show, we've been providing the services there for a number of years, and we are again this year. The Simply Red concert this year, which is at the Canterbury Cricket Ground, which is in June. I do a lot of work with Noel Fitzpatrick, the super vet, which I'm sure all the listeners are aware of. He's actually staging his own one-day music festival in June, which is called One Live. I'm working with him closely on that, providing close protection officers, crowd management, parking, and traffic management elements around the outside of the site in Guildford. So, yeah, we work on huge outdoor events, as well as, you know, two guys working at a private function or perhaps nightclub security.
Okay. I've seen that movie, The Bodyguard.
The Bodyguard,
close protection.
We do a lot of that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Cool. Maybe we'll explore that in a moment.
Yeah, sure.
I want to kind of move along now to another part of your business empire, which is mission training.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. Well, why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about that, and we'll explore that for a moment.
Sure. Well, mission training was actually formed off the back of Right Guard Security, enabling us really to look into the further depths of getting some more professionally trained security staff.
Yeah.
There's no point in putting, you know, staff out there that are inadequately trained,
sure,
who are not able to actually, you know, react or to be able to cope with a situation when it arises. So there are nationally approved training courses that must be delivered to meet the Security Industry Authority legislation, but over and above, we provide additional training. We even train in handcuffs.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Tony. Do you do actually do SIA
we
training?
We do. We provide the SIA training, yes.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, anybody that wants to work in the security industry has to have an SIA-approved qualification before they're allowed to work in it. Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed so, yeah. I mean, the security industry, as we all know, has had a very checkered background. Mm. So over the years, you know, the government have looked into it and said, you know, basically we need to govern this industry. We may need to manage it properly.
Yeah.
The Security Industry Authority was formed, which is a great thing, you know, nationally. It's regulated the security operators out there. And, yeah, generally, I think the industry has become much, much more professional.
Without any shadow of a doubt, I'm of an age to remember going to clubs and stuff where the bouncers, as they were called, were well known because they were bouncers, and you know their only claim to fame was they were bigger than you, can hit you and hurt you. And of course, all of that has radically changed. And as you say, industry training now is to avoid those kind of confrontations more than anything.
Yeah, of course, there are still a few of those out there, and, you know, there are. But, yeah, generally, the industry has changed, and I think the perception of the security, if you then use the words, you say security, it conjures up all sorts of different thoughts of people, be it cash in transit, be a security officer in a shop, be it a guy at a nightclub. So that it's very, very diverse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the pressure is on so much more now. Clients expect so much more from the security providers. Everybody now is carrying around their own CCTV. Everybody has their own telephone, and they will film or take pictures instantly of anything that they feel is not right. Mm. Particularly with some of our outdoor larger events or perhaps the nightclubs, as soon as there's interaction with security and a customer, there's always somebody there with their phone to take a picture. And we see ourselves very quickly on social media once, you know, and sometimes that's a good thing because obviously it sends clear messages out, and other times it's not so good.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I fully understand what you're saying. And people are very quick now to whip out a phone and film and photograph and do things and almost use it as a weapon in some instances.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to take your picture kind of thing, which can antagonise people too.
Absolutely. Mm. And part of the training, back to the mission training element, this is where we then try to focus our officers in being prepared for those situations when you are out there with the general public. You are under the permanent scrutiny of CCTV constantly, be it a phone or be it the CCTV.
I may have got this stat wrong, but it's one of those like rats, you know, you're never more than 5 yards from a rat. Apparently in the UK now, you're never more than 10 yards from a CCTV camera or something like that. I don't know.
Probably
made
it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But when you think urban areas, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. But even here, you know, we're in a very rural area on a farm. There's CCTV out there for the farm in general. We've got CCTV in here. We've got a webcam in here. We've got all kinds of things, you know, because you can. Absolutely. So with mission training, Tony, are you training people for your own operation or do you train people for other security firms? How does it work?
We do both. I mean, inherently, people will individually book on themselves we have regular courses that run each month.
Right.
That's from a door supervisor, CCTV operators, security officers. They can all book on individually onto a course. We will make no secret if we're recruiting and we're looking for individuals and we'll say, look, maybe we can speak after the course.
Yep.
Potentially there's some employment here. But, of course, we also use this opportunity to train and retrain our own staff.
Mm.
Especially in view of, you know, where policing numbers are nationally, as we see, obviously, a massive decrease out there. Mm. What we've done at Right Guard, we've used the services of mission training to actually push forward the training and develop our own more responsive type of officers.
Mm.
And their trainings included handcuff, public order, rapid ejection teams. So if we're working at outdoor events and there are incidents, we can't, and obviously the police cannot be expected to come and mop up our problems.
Yeah.
So basically I've created my own mini police force within what we do as Right Guard Security to actually enable us a much better, stronger deployment.
Right.
So mission training can offer a wide range of modern dynamic approach to, you know, security.
Fantastic. Now, just before we came on air, you started to tell me about another initiative that you're pioneering, which is a workshop for young people.
That's correct. Yes, we've launched our Streetwise campaign, and this is going to lead towards the end of the year, particularly focused around our Marlow promotion. We're actually proud to be sponsors of the Marlow Theatre Christmas.
In Canterbury, yeah, okay.
That's right, yeah. And this year it's Dick Whittington. And what we're actually keen to do is try and raise awareness for teenagers around first aid training and their own personal safety. I'm really, really passionate that I think conflict management is a key attribute to protecting some of our teenagers out there, amongst things such as school bullying, transportation. You know, some get on the bus, some are just having to walk to school and so forth, urban or rural areas. And I think it's a key area that I'm keen to to explore and try to share some of my skills with teenagers and young adults.
It's really interesting. I had lunch a few weeks ago with a mum in West Kent, and there'd been some trouble at her daughter's school with people driving around in vans and, trying to intimidate school kids in one way or another. And she'd kind of heard about this, and the school had sent around a letter warning people. And she was trying to think of a way of trying to handle that in the long term, because, you know, kids, especially teenagers, young teenagers, don't want to be mollycoddled all the time. But by the same token, you know, you can't just leave them to their own devices, because, you know, it's a dangerous world out there.
Yeah.
So what you're suggesting sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I think that we're obviously of an older generation. What we feel of the teenagers is 13, 14, 15-year-olds that maybe need this support. I actually think it's younger. Right. I think it's sort of 10, 11-year-olds that actually need this direction and support early. Mm. They're all governed by social media. All of them have a telephone stuck in their hand or earplugs in their ears. Mm. And sometimes they're not really aware of their own surroundings. They're more focused on the music or obviously on their friends through Snapchat, etc., etc. So we are putting positive steps in to try and prepare people for that. And just for route planning, you know, who's aware of you cutting through the cemetery, you know, at 8 o'clock in the evening in October on your way home? Is this practical? Is this really the safe place you should find yourself in?
Right.
So we're trying to make them think about opportunities and experiences whilst also trying to train them. The training actually includes some breakaway. So we'll actually say, look, should somebody be in your personal space and they've actually made contact with you, we'll show them with no pain-free skills, basically pain-free skills, how to get out of something should they be grabbed hold of, which I think is extremely important, especially
absolutely.
For girls.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a fabulous initiative.
Yeah.
Sadly, Tony, we're running out of time.
Sure.
Can you tell our listeners how to find out about all aspects of your business, your websites and Twitter handles, Facebook pages, whatever way you want people to interact with you?
Sure, absolutely. We're Right Guard Security, and that's obviously www.rightguard.co.uk is our website address. And the sister company, which, as we just said, provides all our training, is missiontraining.co.uk. And we're always available to speak to new people. And also for schools, if there's any schools that want to get in contact with us, I'd love to speak to some schools and go into the schools and provide this training.
Fantastic. Tony, thank you so much for that.
No problem. Great pleasure to be here. Thank
Absolute
you.
Pleasure to hear from you. We've now got someone on the phone again. So let's see who that is. Hello.
Hi, Paul. It's Rupert.
Hello, Donna. Rupert. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
That was perfect timing. Our guest had just finished speaking when you rang in.
I was following.
Were you listening?
Yeah, strangely, I actually used to run a self-defense class for women years ago.
Oh, so did you really?
Yeah, so it was quite interesting listening to that.
Yeah, no, it was a fascinating interview, wasn't it? With some really brilliant initiatives. So, Rupert, what's happening in your world? What's going on?
Well, we're starting to get some real pickups. So we had 30 people sign up as brains in the last 24 hours.
Sure. Just for the listener that doesn't recall you, give us a quick mention of what your business is.
Okay, we run a site called Dial-A-Brain, which is an expertise on demand platform.
Right.
It's really designed to help people monetize their following on social media.
Right.
So they can just add a button onto their LinkedIn profile and somebody can click it and schedule a meeting with them.
Absolutely. I was just pointing at Catherine earlier. It will be a great place for her to have inspiring women on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So okay, and you're participating in dear old Sir Dickie, Richard Branson's little activity at the moment. Voom.
Yes, that's right. It's a bit unfortunate. We've got quite a few people have decided to sign up, but they're not voting.
Oh, right, okay.
So we could do with some more votes. We've dropped out of the top 80.
Right.
And we need to be in the top 80 to get through to the next round.
Okay.
So if we could encourage people to go along and actually sign up and vote.
Right.
It takes about 20 seconds to sign up and vote, but you must do it in that order.
Okay. Well, probably the easiest thing is if people follow you on the Twitter and you can put a link on there.
Absolutely.
I mean, we do have a link on the Business Bunker website, but more dynamically is probably if they follow you on the Twitter. So what's the best thing to do? What's the best Twitter handle to follow you on?
Dialer Brain.
Okay, so if people follow Dialer Brain, they will find a link to the Voom thing that you're involved in. They'll also find out your website, so they can find out more about your actual business as well.
Absolutely.
And then I know because I've done this, you go in. It's a really simple registration process. You can just use your Facebook or, Facebook profile you can use to sign up, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very, very quick sign-up process, and then you get to vote.
Yep.
Absolutely. So do support Rupert and Dialer Brain. Rupert, when does it close? When does voting close, you know?
23rd of this month.
It's 23rd of May. Yeah. So we haven't got much longer to get you in and get you up into the top 50. Come on, let's not beat about. We don't want top 80. Yeah. We don't want to be messing about, in the relegation zone, do we? We want to be up there in mid-table.
Absolutely.
So do get supporting Rupert and Dialer Brain. And do just check out Dialer Brain. Just have a look at Rupert's platform. It's a very interesting concept. And if you work in any field remotely related to consultancy, information, expertise, or anything else, and you sell that to the public, it's a great platform for which to generate more customers. So do check that out. Rupert, we wish you much luck with that. Do tweet me with it and I'll retweet it again and keep on telling us how you're getting on.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good to speak to you again. Yeah, take care.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Cheers, mate, bye-bye. That's Rupert Connolly, no relation.
Not that I know of, no.
No. From Dialer Brain. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. We've still got loads of emails. We're kind of fast running out of time as we work towards the end of the show. I'm going to read a couple of tweets while Jane gets some emails organised to read to you in a moment. We had Zoe Designer who was telling me, listening to the Business Bunker show, but it's a busy day here in Canterbury doing wedding dresses. So that's cool. I take it she's designing them rather than modelling them, or maybe she's doing both. And in line with that, we've also had a new listener, or a new follower to me anyway, which is Kentish Embroidery. Kentish Embroid 1 is their Twitter handle. And they say, hello, Vanilla Web, could we have a shout-out, please? We're the Kentish Embroidery, and we're based in Kent. That's handy. I wonder if they do embroidery. With a single price, with no hidden extras, and their website is kentishembroidery.co.uk. Which is interesting. Now, I wonder what they embroider. Do you think... I don't think it's samplers or anything like that. I imagine it's like promotional shirts or what have you. What do you reckon?
Just asking them to send something in for
you.
Yeah. Personalised.
Yeah. But it sounds interesting. So give them a follow or look at their website. Kentish Embroid 1 on the Twitter or kentishembroidery.co.uk is their website. Laura hasn't informed me of who the rugby team was she played for, but she has told me she went for a run, had a lunch and a cup of tea. Well, okay, thank you. There's another stupid picture of me in a tutu, which we'll gloss over. And Sally, the gorgeous Sally for Cake, Sally Laker, has said, Vanilla, can you give a shout-out for Glenn and Julie talking about writing for TV on Saturday? Now, let me give you a bit of background to this. Sally's husband, Glenn, is a scriptwriter. He writes for Holby City and a few other ITV shows. The lovely Julie Wassima, they're both from Whitstable. Julie writes EastEnders. And the pair of them are doing part of the Whitstable literature scene, Screams and Screens, Glenn Maker and Julie Westmer, on Saturday the 14th of May, that's this Saturday, at the Horsebridge Centre in Whitstable, from 7:30pm to 8:30pm, and they're talking about writing for TV, and both of them are accomplished TV script writers. And in fact, Glenn has also written the script of a film, which I backed, called One Last Dance, starring Jonathan Pryce. Quick plug for that. Home Instead underscore TW on the Twitter have said, Vanilla Web and Business Bunker, can you please shout out for our Seven Oaks event for Dementia Awareness Week, which is next week? Thank you. And they've given me a poster, which is Dementia Awareness Week, 15th to the 21st of May. On Saturday the 14th of May, there's the Wellbeing Show at the Stag Theatre, and there's a dementia talk at 11:40am. But the whole day is from 10 till 3. And then on Monday the 16th to Sunday the 22nd of May, Specsavers in Seven Oaks High Street has got lots of information available on dementia, so you can pop into Specsavers on Seven Oaks High Street and find out more about the whole dementia thing. On Wednesday the 18th of May, from 10am to 12 noon, at the Amherst Surgery, which is 21 St Boltoffs Road, Seven Oaks, there will be information and advice and support available there. So if you want more information about it, you can email Simone Salwan, and that's Simone, S-Y-M-O-N-E dot Salwan, S-A-L-W-A-N, at homeinstead.co.uk. Or you can look at the Home Instead website, or you can follow them on the Twitter, which is homeinstead underscore TW. So do support them during National Dementia Awareness Week, which is next week. Cool, we got a hive related program today, haven't we? The whole population of hives turned out for today. We've got Hendrix of Hive, who I believe are chocolate makers. Yeah.
Indeed.
And they have tweeted in, our next chocolate and wine evening. Chocolate and wine. Who are they trying to get at then? Chocolate and Wine is on Friday the 13th of May. Unlucky for some. If you fancy a go. And that's from Henry. And he says, we're looking forward to seeing you. So thank you for that, Henry. There's another phone call. Blimey, we're busy today, aren't we? Thank you for that. Hello, it's another phone call. Who have we got there?
Good afternoon. I'd like to speak to Jules, please.
You wanted who, Sue?
Jules?
No, she's not here. You're on the radio, mate.
I'm on.
Yeah,
you don't. Apologise.
Yeah, cheers.
Thank you.
Happens all the time. As soon as somebody rings, everybody rings. And Henry from Hendrix of Hive has tweeted again to say chocolate. That's all he says. Chocolate.
That's enough for me.
Yeah, but it's handmade chocolate, ooh, to be fair. So that's cool. Hold on. That's this Friday, 13th of May. It's chocolate and wine evening. To find out the full details, I guess you're going to have to follow Henry on the Twitter. And it's Hendrix of Hive, without the E on the end of Hive, is their Twitter handle. It's the trouble with Twitter. hold on, we've got a phone call again. Hello? No, don't know who that was. They've gone. The trouble with Twitter is your Twitter handle isn't always long enough. Tony, you wanted to say something?
I was just actually going to say that the chocolate from Hendrix of Hyde is delicious. And if you're not aware of it, get down there Friday night.
Yeah, it is absolutely fabulous. It's homemade stuff as well, isn't it?
It is indeed.
And I believe I might have got this wrong, but they have a gluten-free range as well, I think.
They do.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff. I bought some for my mum for her birthday. Bless her. So do have a look at that. Oh, dear. It's all going Pete Tong here. Yeah. I've lost my thing. Stopwatch Hospitality have tweeted, and they say, Vanilla Web, we're listening to the Business Bunker with Chris Pollard in the Stopwatch suite at Brands Hatch. Happy days. He's then put a picture of me with some women. You don't need to watch. That was years ago.
Are you in the tutu again?
No, I'm not. It's not what I'm wearing that's the problem in this particular picture.
Okay, I won't ask any more about
that. No, it's the grid ladies from Spin and Rhino that shared our hospitality suite for the day.
Oh, did they? I expect you're upset about that, weren't you?
Mm. So we'll ignore that. But anyway, I hope you're having fun. What are you doing at Brands Hatch today? It's what's on a Tuesday. Juddy Lawler has tweeted in about the phone call we had earlier about Sweet Sweet Soul, saying that sounds amazing. Can't wait to get down there and twiddle a lollipop. So thank you for that, Jody. And Cascade Insurance, Cascade Julie, has tweeted in saying, listen to the Business Bunker Show while having a cup of tea at work. Fantastic show, thank you. And The Hunting Edge said, we got in, tuned into the Business Bunker, and we're enjoying a great show. So thank you to the folks from The Hunting Edge for that. Right, here we go. I was right first time. The photograph has arrived. Laura, who has now finished her lunch, finished running, finished messing around, and has now answered my question, and she said, I love women's rugby. I'm the bottom left-hand player. She's posted a team picture here. I'm the bottom left-hand player, and I play for London Welsh Women's RFC 18 years ago. And there I am, a picture of Laura. I don't recognise Laura in there, but there you go. And Hendricks of Hythe have been on again. Handmade chocolate, ice-cold frappes, chocolate and wine is available this Friday. They're going for it now, aren't they? And Tenterton Twilight have tweeted, and Tenterton Twilight are saying, just in time for the second half of the show, did I miss much? No, you didn't. You can catch up on the listen again now, or on the podcast, so don't worry about it. And the lovely Natalie Benaig, hello Vanilla Webb, would you mention that Ashford School is making a call to artists for, they need an artist in residence? So if you fancy a bit of painting, they need an artist in residence. So if you're an artist and you presumably are in the Ashford area, Ashford School are looking for an artist in residence. So do check that out. You can follow Natalie at Kent Creative Art. You can listen to Natalie shortly at 4 o'clock when she's on with the Kent Creative Show. Or you can follow her on the Twitter, Kent Creative Art. Do you know we've got 110 more tweets? I don't think I'm going to get around to all of those. I'll tell you what, though, Jane, you can do another email very quickly.
Okay. If you are interested in hobnobbing over breakfast, Kent Invicta Chamber Breakfast Networking is taking place later this month. It's happening on the 17th of May, which is a Tuesday, at the Rare Breed Centre, Ashford, starting at 8 a.m. going through to 9:30. It's a full English breakfast, and it costs £15 plus VAT for members, £20 plus VAT for non-members. And it's a chance for people to put their business in the spotlight, highlight their products and services, explain how they can help others, and tuck into a nice breakfast at the same time. And if you can't make that one, the next one is taking place on the 19th of May, which is a Thursday, at Campanile, Dartford. And the last one of the month is at Kent Enterprise Trust in Herne Bay on the 24th of May. And to book for that, you need to get in touch with kentinvictachamber.co.uk. Presumably you can book online for that.
Fantastic. Someone's just posted a picture of my stand at Kent Creative Live tomorrow, which is interesting.
Are you supposed to be on it?
Probably. I didn't know I had one, but they have a picture of it, and it's got my brand new logo in it, so it must be mine. So thanks for that. I'll see if I can get along.
Exciting.
Also, Supply My Business. Apologies, we were a bit late tuning in. Really excited to be partnering once again with the Business Bunker for the next 12 months. Great showcase for SMEs. Well, thank you, Martin and the team at Supply My Business. We're really proud and privileged to be partnering with you too, and thank you for renewing with us. Do you know what, though?
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you news from the Federation of Small Business. And I want to start off with an event that's happening at the Kent Event Centre, and we're just talking about it. You can meet the FSB at Kent Vision Live, and the FSB are one of the main sponsors of Kent Vision Live this year, which is taking place tomorrow at the Kent Event Centre. The county showground. So do get along to that. There's more people there than just the FSB, but the FSB will be there, and Jobs in Kent will be there as well, apparently. And so will loads and loads of other people. So do get along to that. There's also a chance to meet and discuss your small business issues with another local MP. A few weeks ago, the FSB arranged to meet Kelly Tolhurst, the MP for Rochester. The next meeting is with Craig McKinley, who's the MP for Thanet South, I believe. And you can meet with Craig and discuss with him your business concerns, needs and wants and issues. And you can do that on the 20th of May. If you want to find out about any of these events, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB Kent, there's a full list of all their up and coming events there. There's also a cider tasting social. How could that possibly go wrong? On Wednesday the 18th from 7 till 8.30, and it's at the old fire station. Oh, that's handy. Yeah. 8 Castle Street in Tunbridge, and that's a cider tasting in association with the FSB on the 18th of May. That's Wednesday week at the old fire station in Tunbridge. Have you got an FSB email there, Jane, that you want to partake us of?
I do. The FSB would like to speak to businesses about the potential abuse of business rates appeals. The FSB is taking a keen interest in the experience of members and other small firms that have contracted specialist companies to appeal business rates decisions. In some cases, they say, we understand that the government's decision to defer revaluation from 2014 has meant that specialists have charged extra fees for later years following on from historic decisions. So FSB would like to hear from any small businesses that have been affected, and any submissions will be kept anonymous if required. And you can email them at press@fsb.org.uk.
Fantastic, thank you. The FSB is also delighted to be sponsoring the Kent Creative Arts Award. And the Kent Creative Arts Awards are taking place on Wednesday the 18th of May from 6pm until 11pm, and that's at the Alexandra Centre, which is 15 Preston Street, Faversham. It's an annual event, and the Kent Creative Awards, in association with Ashford School, celebrate the best in arts and culture in Kent and those who help maintain and develop the creative sector in our county. Again, you can find out more about it by either going to the Kent Business Radio website FSB page, or you can go to kentcreativearts.co.uk/event and find out about that too. I'm going to be at that event. It's a great event in the county, and I'm really looking forward to being there.
The European Commission has published an action plan outlining its aims to reform the current EU VAT system to make it simpler, more resistant to fraud and business friendly. The action plan sets out a number of options for adapting and modernising VAT rules so that they support the digital economy and are responsive to the needs of small and medium-sized firms. To this end, the action plan outlines 5 key objectives: tackling the VAT gap, removing VAT obstacles to e-commerce in the single market, a VAT simplification package to support the growth of smaller firms, a definitive VAT regime for cross-border trade, and more freedom for member states on setting VAT rates. So that'll be something for people to think about in the run-up to the referendum, presumably.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Jane. I've had a look at this, and this is brilliant. Have a look at it. This is really brilliant. There's a new tool, online tool, and it shows the deficit in skills by area. Now, as someone that operates recruitment portals, I've been banging on for a couple of years now about the skill shortages that we are currently suffering. Massive skill shortages in the UK, more jobs than you can shake a stick at, which is great for me as a business, not so great for everybody else that's trying to hire people. But the IPPR and analytics firm Burning Glass Technologies has developed a new tool to tackle the mismatches that exist in many parts of the country between the skills needed by employers and those available in the local workforce. It's the first freely available tool of its kind in the UK, and is intended to be used by national and local decision makers, education and training providers, and employers to address critical issues. The tool is called Where the Work Is, and you can find out more about it online. And there's a website that you can go to, and what it does, it's an interactive map, and you click on a postcode or an area or a region, and it tells you what skills are in demand, and more importantly, what skills are actually available in that area. So how many people have those kind of qualifications in that area? It's a bit scary, actually, if you look at it. But the website where you can play with this tool is called wherethework.org. wherethework.org. Do have a look at it. It's a fabulous resource. It's really useful. We do have massive skill shortages.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see what shortages we have in Kent.
Yeah,
and what we're
absolutely.
So now we have a message for calling all lovely farmers, it says here. a change to the way farmers can average their profits for income tax purposes has come into force. Since the 6th of April 2016, farmers can choose to average their profits over 2 to 5 years. Before this date, farmers could only average their profits over a 2-year period. Commenting on this, Chancellor George Osborne said the change will provide farmers with additional security to plan and invest for the future. Mr. Osborne estimates that more than 29,000 farmers will save an average of £950 each per year. Presumably that's to allow for adverse weather conditions and other
absolutely
environmental issues that might affect their income.
Absolutely.
Which can only be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. The FSB has backed a call from MPs for improved careers advice in schools. Prominent business groups, including the FSB, joined forces with education experts to co-sign a letter with Graham Stewart MP calling for a change to the statutory guidance for schools on careers advice. About time too. The letter asks Secretary of State Nicky Morgan to amend the statutory guidance so that all schools are required to work to obtain a quality award for careers education, information, advice and guidance that meets an approved standard determined by the Department for Education. So it's about putting back careers onto the school curriculum and making schools responsible for doing something to help their pupils with the whole career thing. This is me saying this, not the FSB. I'm going to have a little bit of a rant here. For far too long, schools have been obsessed with GCSEs and universities. And both of those are kind of a little bit discredited as far as small and medium-sized employers are concerned. They want something radically different. They want attitudinal training. They want awareness training. And they want young people that are work ready. And that's where we're kind of falling down. So we're I'm now back in official mode because I'm actually also the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway lead on education and youth employment. And one of the things that the FSB have done is we recognise that schools need help with this. So we've instituted a programme called 30-30, which is a template that we offer free to schools to help introduce them to businesses that will send business people into your school to tell your pupils about what they want in terms of employing people. So do check all of that kind of stuff out. Jane, have you got one more FSB email?
I do. A new FSB report warns of a self-employment savings time bomb. The report is called Going It Alone, Moving On Up, Supporting Self-Employment in the UK. Now over 4.6 million of the UK's 5.4 million businesses are self-employed, and FSB says it is dedicated to supporting them. But this report warns of a self-employment savings time bomb, as less than a third of self-employed people are saving into a private pension, with 15% suggesting they do not have retirement savings of any kind. FSB is urging ministers to work towards a savings solution for the self-employed who are not currently being catered for by automatic enrolment.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. That brings us to the end of our FSB roundup.
Channel Radio News Update.
We're fast approaching the end of the show. I've still got dozens of tweets coming in. I've got an interesting one here from the Whitstable Stove Shop. And they say, Vanilla Web, typical, I was called out of the shop at 1 o'clock, so I couldn't listen initially, but I fired up tuning app on my mobile, and I'm now playing it in my van, and I'm catching up. I'm just listening to the really inspiring Catherine talking about inspiring women, so thank you for that, Mark. So he's driving around Kent somewhere in a van listening to you at the moment. You'll keep going. There's still loads of interesting stuff on there, Mark, to keep you occupied all afternoon. So do listen to that. We've also had a tweet talking about vans from the Organic Sisters, who are currently out in their van. As I've said, Organic Sisters, who are currently out in their van at the moment. That's Caroline and Liz, Riverfield_Kent. The Organic Sisters deliver fresh fruit, vegetable and other sundries to businesses and homes throughout Kent. Fantastic food boxes, all organic, all ethically produced stuff. And you can follow Caroline and Liz at Riverfield_Kent. That's Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters, on the Twitter. Oh, blimey, we got loads more. Cascade Insurance. Oh, many thanks for the mention. I'm now off to Kent Vision Live. Everyone's going to Kent Vision Live. Everyone's going there, so you need to be there tomorrow. But until then, there's some other things that you could be doing tonight. The Kent Invicta Chamber have an after-hours networking event, and the first one is taking place tonight, the 10th of May, at the Hythe Imperial Hotel. Here we go again. in Hive. We, you know, everyone from Hive's here in the studio at the moment, so we might as well all decamp from here and go round the Hive Imperial. 6 o'clock, totally free. Anyone can go. 6 till 7. It's networking. Just come along, meet people. Highly popular, highly successful, very casual networking. Anyone can turn up. You don't have to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. And tonight's event is at the Hive Imperial Hotel. And that starts at 6 p.m. tonight. Tomorrow night, the 11th of May, there is an event, an after-hours networking event at the Royal Wells Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. And then next Tuesday, on the 17th of May, at the Roffing Club in Rochester over in Medway. And on Wednesday, the 18th, at Canterbury College in Canterbury. And then on Tuesday, the 24th, the Mercure Maidstone. That's what used to be called the Great Danes. So a full lineup over the next couple of weeks of after-hours networking events taking place in association with the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. We're kind of almost at the end of the show. I want to tell you about what's coming up later on Channel Radio. Straight after the Business Bunker Show. No, not straight after the Business Bunker Show. At 4 o'clock after the Business Bunker Show is the absolutely lovely Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Live Show. That's at 4 o'clock. Then at 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery in his stripy socks, well, his entertainment and information show will be on air from 5 to 7 o'clock. That is immediately followed by...
Welcome on to the New Potatoes Show.
18 tracks of unsigned, new, up-and-coming music on the New Potatoes Show. Dig it up. We like a pun.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. After that's presented by Jamie Andrews, and that's from 7 till 9 tonight, the New Potato Show, 18 tracks of unsigned, new, up-and-coming music, glorious music that Jamie picks. Mm-hmm. That is immediately followed at 9 o'clock by I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, our comedy and music show featuring 1967, which is a particularly funny year. And then, of course, as always, on a Tuesday, we round it off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always, on a Tuesday night, we round off the evening with George and the Club Culture show at 10 o'clock. So do stay tuned for all of that. But for another week, that's us done here on the Business Bunker Show. I'd like to say a massive thank you to our two guests, the lovely Catherine Spencer, founder of Inspiring Women and rugby player extraordinaire. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Absolute pleasure also to be joined by Tony Smith, Managing Director of Right Guard Security, Mission Training and All Things Security. Thank you so much, Tony, for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from both of you. You've been really brilliant. I want to say absolutely fantastic. What a great job she did as well. To the lovely Jane Connolly, who I blagged at the very last moment into co-presenting the show with me, and she did a superb job. The lovely Jane Connolly of White Spot PR. Thank you so much, Jane. I really do appreciate you doing that for me.
That's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And you're brilliant, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
So next week you can do the show on your own, okay? Is that right? Yeah. But you've been listening to us on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Do keep your tweets coming in during the week. We'll probably see most of you at Kent Vision Live tomorrow, where most of us will be, and we look forward to that. Otherwise, have a great week. Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.